seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome to Drive Time Sports. We are live from the Sutherland Studios here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. And we have a very packed show today, a lot to get into in a very short period of time, so we're going to condense the intro to the show just a bit. Here's what we have in store. Yesterday, we had Emory High School baseball here on KOAL, and so we did not have Football Tuesday. We're going to move it to today. We got a lot of NFL football to get into. We'll talk about the career of Aaron Donald, one of the greatest to ever do it. Called it a career this past Friday. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've made some waves as far as their quarterback room is concerned. So we'll get into all that. Also on the local front, you're going to hear from Emory baseball players Wade Stilson and Cade Larson. I had a chance to catch up with both of those student-athletes yesterday following Emory's loss at the hands of JUAB. So all of that is coming up. Vinny Rondinelli will join me in the studio in just a moment. It's Drive Time Sports, and we are live from the Sutherland Studios.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Back on Drive Time Sports, we are live from the Sutherland Studios here on 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. We do have a lot to get to, a lot of NFL football talk right around the corner, so we're going to dive into the local sports front. I had an opportunity yesterday to catch up with a couple of Emory baseball players. Emory suffering a 10-1 loss to JUAB. Following that setback, I caught up with seniors Wade Stilson and also Cade Larson. We talked not so much about yesterday's game, but the makeup of the team, as we've already hit the past the midway point here in the month of March. Here's my interview yesterday with Emory senior shortstop Wade Stilson. Wade, it's always a pleasure to chat with you and talk any sport, be it basketball, football, or baseball. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I know that this is your favorite sport. I remember talking to you in the summer. I asked you about football. You said, it's my third favorite. I was like, okay, we're going to work our way down. 3-2-1. Here we are, your senior season. It's your final baseball season at Emory High School. How have things gone so far?
It's been a little bit of a rough start, but we're putting together wins when we need to.
Yeah, 6 wins so far.
Yeah.
I know that it's kind of a mixed bag early on. You don't know what the weather's going to be like. You don't know if you're playing day to day. I'm sure that that's not easy, but you guys have also had to rely on a lot of underclassmen so far this year. For someone who's really been kind of a staple of this team for 4 seasons, is that fun to kind of integrate some new kids that are freshmen? I mean, you were once there once upon a time. What's that been like?
It's been fun. It's been a learning process for sure.
Yeah.
We've had a couple guys step up, though, and be big, though. It's been fun to see them step up.
I know one of the guys in particular is Trigg.
Yeah, Trigg. It's my little cousin. He stepped up. He's playing the infield. He's done well.
He's hit about 250, if I'm not mistaken, so far this season. So he has been productive at the home plate as well. Yep. But when you look at the makeup of this team, in comparison to years past, I mean, how far can this team go realistically, at least in your estimation? I mean, is this a team that you can see going all the way if you guys start clicking at the right time?
Yeah, if we get hot, we got a lot of arms that can throw. If we just play baseball, start hitting the ball well, I think we can do it.
I've had the opportunity to watch you play a couple of times. At short, seems like you get better and better. There's a couple of times you come up with some plays. I don't quite know how you do it. Playing shortstop, having your length defensively, how fun is that to kind of make, we can call it some gems at shortstop? That's got to be fun knowing that you have the length to actually pull that off.
Yeah, it's fun for sure. Yeah, I struggled a little bit to start, but I think I'm getting back to where I was. So.
Well, on the mound, you've been dynamic, and I know that you have hit some all-time highs. I was told that you were clocked at 90. Is that true? Have you hit 90?
I did not know that, but maybe.
Well, we're going to talk to Kate.
No one told me that.
We'll talk to Kate about it. I think Kate probably knows if you've come close. You know you've got to be close, though, right? You've seen some tremendous growth out there on the pitcher's mound.
Yeah, I'm probably close.
What is your what's your favorite aspect of being out on the pitcher's mound? What are some of the things that you've kind of developed and now you've had fun with now that you're a senior?
You kind of get to control the game. The ball's in your hand. You get to put it where it needs to be. Either strike him out or just maybe need a ground ball. You can kind of control that and kind of control the game.
I know the one thing that makes baseball so unique. It's the only sport where the defense has the ball in their hand every single play, right? Mm-hmm. That's what's so unique. So I'm guessing that's kind of what you mean, right? Defensively, you guys get to control the pace.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about the region. It's extended. We saw it in basketball. Some long road trips.
Yeah.
A lot of region play. Seems like the majority of the season is nothing but league play. Basketball, we're going November to February. Here in baseball, it's April and May. That's about it. Mid-March, April, May. So when you look at the region, what stands out to you?
A lot of good teams. And like you said, lots of road trips, but which are sometimes hard to go down and kind of get off the bus and play the best that you can. But I think we'll be able to hopefully put that together and steal a couple on the road.
We've seen already the defending 3A state champs in Juabs. Good team.
Great team, yeah.
What stood out to you about, again, this is a team that was top last year. They do bring back a lot of kids from last season as well. We've got to see this team up close. So you're playing against the defending state champs. What did you notice about them and saying, hey, we can learn from this a little bit?
They hit the ball really well. And there's little things that they do on defense, holding runners on, and on the bases, like when they're running bases, they're really aggressive, and we can pick that up. I think there's a lot we can learn from teams like this.
With this being your senior season, is the urgency kind of set in? Has it hit you that this is it? You got two more months of high school sports, and that's it.
Yeah, it's hit me. But
it's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But I know that you have plans to move on past high school. Have you looked at what you're – I know you want to play baseball, right, past high school. Have you looked at what that will be moving forward once you get past Emory?
Not really. I'm still working on that, but I know I'm going on a mission to Japan. So.
Yeah, you just got your calling, actually, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Japan. Yep. Yeah, so I'm excited for that.
Yeah, definitely. So that gives you a couple of more years to even grow, right?
Yeah.
Have schools talk to you about that, knowing that, hey, I'm going to go on a mission, I want to play baseball, but I'm going to leave for a couple of years? Have you talked to schools about that?
A little bit, yeah.
And I mean, that's got to excite them, knowing that you're going to get physically, not only physically, but mentally more mature during that process.
Yeah, I think that'll help a lot, too.
Yeah. Before I let you go, I want to talk about playing for manager Chase Julian. This is his second season. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed a difference in coach? He's told me he's learned a lot. Have you noticed a difference from him?
I think we've all learned a lot. I think the boys and everyone, it's just kind of a good atmosphere, something maybe we've struggled with in the past, but yeah, I think it's been a good change.
Well, Wade, it's always fun to chat with you. I know we'll be talking again before the end of the season. Hopefully we can get rolling, turn some wins here relatively soon in league play, but it's always fun to chat with you. Thank you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jordan.
That's Emory High School senior Wade Stilson talking about the baseball season. I also had the opportunity to catch up with senior catcher Cade Larson. A difficult place to play, catcher. Interesting conversation. Cade Larson, senior for Emory, yesterday following the game against UAB.
Cade, it's great to get you on. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's fun to chat, that's for sure. Now we're 11 games into the baseball season. Let's talk about it. How would you assess what you guys have managed to accomplish so far? I know there's been some wins, there's been some losses. How do you assess things?
So, I mean, looking at it from my point of view, I mean, we went down to St. George, we played some good teams, and I think we beat Cedar, and I was all concussed for a second there, but when we were playing them, we had a good energy, and they're a good team, and I think they're one of the better teams here in Utah, and we beat them. So I mean, if we have our energy up, I feel like we win a lot of games. Those games we did win, the energy was high, it was fun, it was fun to be out there, so just things like that.
I think that's proof for one, the parity, right? I mean, we've seen a lot of good teams. We've seen highs, we've seen lows from this team, and it's just kind of trying to find that middleman, I guess, it would be the answer, I would assume.
Yeah, for sure. It's just trying to get that energy up all the time and pick each other up, keep each other's heads high and stuff like that. So,
with you being a senior and you guys having a pretty good senior class, I know that kind of falls on you, right? Has coach talked to you guys about that? Like, you're responsible for this energy.
I mean, he has brought that, but it's also like we're all a team. I mean, no one's better than the other person, even if they're junior, senior, whatever. I think everyone's the same. I mean, you work hard, get a play, stuff like that. So,
what's it like being behind home plate? I think it's incredibly difficult to play the position that you play and to play it at a high level. Talk to me about it. What's the difficulties and what do you enjoy so much about it?
So I like it just because, I mean, in other positions, you don't get the ball every play. It's, I mean, in catching, you catch the ball every single time. You throw it down every time. I mean, you just always have to stay on your feet. And, I mean, something I like to take, or I love blocking balls. It's something about blocking a baseball that just, I don't know, I love it. It's so fun to me, but yeah.
It's hard to do, man. I don't envy catchers. But we look at some of the pitchers that you have on this team. We've talked to Wade. I asked Wade if he had thrown 90. He said he didn't know that. I looked at you, and you shook your head yes. I mean, you would know better than anyone else. You would know better than any radar gun. How is it catching for Wade Stilson?
Oh, it's challenging. I mean, going from, like, some of our not slower pitchers, but, like, meat fastball pitchers to Wade, I mean, it's hard to adjust to that, but he throws hard, he throws good, he throws strikes, so that's what we need.
We're big baseball fans back at the station, and we were watching the catcher's point of view on a Nolan Ryan fastball, and I was amazed at how you couldn't see it, right? And so when you get a kid that's hitting 85, 90, it's probably hard to see.
Yeah, it's difficult, but I mean, when you have like Wade hitting spots, I mean, he's gonna perform and hit where I'm wanting him to throw it, so I mean, I got a pretty good idea, so it's not too bad.
I don't have a ton of experience behind home plate. In fact, I don't have any. But I would say that probably the most intriguing aspect for me just as a spectator would be the catcher framing pitches. How fun is that?
Oh, it's fun. When you get a ball kind of low and you work it back up to the zone and get a called strike, that's probably one of the best feelings. I mean, like I said, I like blocking balls, but framing balls is probably just as good too. I mean, a lot of umps look at that and they say, oh, if you would have caught it like this, I mean, it would have been a strike. So, I mean, things like it really is like it's an art, I'd say, framing it back to the zone and stuff like that. So,
Let's talk about your offensive play. With you batting in the middle of the lineup, and you have Wade and Mason hitting in front of you, get a lot of RBI chances you have this year with both Mason and Wade hitting around 500.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously I didn't do very good today at the plate, but other times, I mean, I think there's only been a couple I have only a couple strikeouts, so, I mean, I just think put the ball in play, whether it's on the ground, in the air. I mean, Wade and Mason are good at getting on, so all I got to do is score them. I feel like my job as 3 and 4 hole is put the ball in play, make them make a play, and move runners. So,
you guys have been able to do that, I know, at times. This is a good JUAB team that we saw today, and I don't know that the schedule really gets any easier. You have a couple of non-league games left, but then after that, it's all region. And as we've talked with Wade, I've talked with Coach Julian, it's such a difficult region front to back. There's not a lot of off nights.
No, yeah, I think we definitely have one of the hardest regions in all of Utah, honestly. I mean, we have teams like Canyon View and JUAB here, and now and Manti's in our region now too. So, I mean, we got a lot of big schools, but I mean, I think we're right up there with them. I don't think we're anything less than those guys. So,
when you look at what direction you can envision this team moving, what are some of the things you guys have to do to get to that next point?
I mean, as like looking at today's game, a lot of things we lacked on was communication and energy. I mean, I think we get the energy up, we get the communication going, bringing people's heads up, keeping people on their feet, happy and all that, and just feeling good. I mean, that really does change the way Emory plays, and I've noticed that through my 4 years of playing, that you can really change a game by the way you guys act in the dugout and out on the field. So,
I know it's been an exciting time for you. As outside of being a senior student athlete, you're a senior at Emory High School, so your high school career is coming to a close in general. You're going to be leaving on a mission as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, school's it's getting tough. I mean, not because it's hard, but because I don't want to be there. that's for sure. I like school, and I like being around people, but it's getting hard to focus on baseball in school right now.
Yeah.
I'd rather be playing out baseball when days and it's 60 degrees outside, that's for sure.
No doubt. We've had beautiful weather here. It's nice. You just don't know if you're going to play day-to-day in the spring. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Utah weather is wild. But, Cade, it's been a great start to the season. Hopefully we can start grabbing a few more wins. I really do appreciate you taking out the time to join us, and I'm sure we'll catch up again soon.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So there's a couple of Emory High School senior baseball players. Always fun to get some athletes here on Drive Time Sports. We've got to pause for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we're going to move over to talk NFL football. The end of an era. Aaron Donald calls it a career last week. Also, we'll talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers
How did they flip their quarterback room, and did they make the right decisions? We'll talk about all that more when we return. It's Drive Time Sports live from the Sutherland Studios.
Since they want to know. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
Drive Time Sports live from the Sutherland Studios, and there is a lot to get into on the show today. We got Vinny Rondinelli in studio with us. Vinny, I kind of teased some of the topics that we're going to talk about on the show today. And I definitely want to get into the quarterback room of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Amazing. Amazing.
Some magic was worked, right? But I do want to start by talking about the career of Aaron Donald, who hung it up last Friday. I don't think it was a big surprise that he retired, but I think it was the timing of it was a little bit of a shock. But then it all comes out. The Rams knew about this since January. They kept it tight. There was a restructure of the contract. I mean, this was definitely a business ploy, but nonetheless, middle of March, one of the greatest to ever do it, hangs it up.
Yeah, I think it was impressive. Again, I don't think it was a surprise. Like you said, off the air and we talked, they knew. I think it was very impressive for 2 months they didn't leak it.
Yeah.
That's impressive. The restructure was already done. It was all there. You said something to me off the air, like when I walked in the door, you were just like, top three defensive player of all time. In my mind, top three defensive player. And you have an argument. He was so dominant that he changed the entire course of a game. And very few defenders can do that. There's a lot of great players, right? We see dominant players. Very few of them literally changed the entire course of the game. And Aaron Donald did it week to week.
As an interior lineman.
As an interior lineman. And people will say that, you know, I've heard that about linebackers. They don't. That's a farce. You know, they don't change the entire course of the game like Donald did, because the first thing they did was figure, okay, how do we block him with 2 to 3 guys? Nobody one-on-one'd him.
No, when they did, well, I'm going to correct you. He got one-on-one 2 seasons ago twice, and it just so happened to be the final play of the NFC Championship game.
And the Super Bowl.
And the Super Bowl.
and they're champs because of it, yeah. Yeah. I should say nobody one-on-one with him and won.
Yeah, never had success doing it.
You know, we've seen some of these great, great players. It could be Hall of Fame players. Zach Martin, Quentin Nelson, and they battled, but Donald got the upper hand.
Yeah,
he ended up getting it, and the just incredible player. You're right. You could say you have a great argument there to say that when you say one of the top three defensive players of all time.
LT, Reggie White, Aaron Donald. That's my three. And if you want to put LT one, Reggie White one, Donald one, by all means, go right ahead. But those are three guys that changed the complexion of the game. You know, the other thing that stands out to me about Donald, and we can get into the resume in a moment, but when you just look at the tape, look at the substance out on the field. We literally compared an interior lineman to the likes of an edge. We compared his sack total to TJ Watt. We compared his sack total to Myles Garrett. We shouldn't be doing that an interior lineman.
No. He just kind of took it over. And there's some guys that were just so dominant week to week. And JJ Watt in his prime before he got hurt. Had a string there. I think it was 3 years in a row where I was thinking, this guy's going to go down as the greatest defensive player of all time. And injuries and things caught up with him. Donald, the longevity of it, too. I mean, that has to be factored in. Reggie White, Lawrence Taylor, Aaron Donald, like you said, they were dominant every down for a decade.
A decade. 10 years. And also, I have to look at the Aaron Donald factor player-wise. There have been a lot of players that have gotten paid because they played alongside of Aaron Donald.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, recently, Leonard Floyd signs a deal with the 49ers. Leonard Floyd was
a bust in Chicago.
Comes over to L.A., and all of a sudden he gets paid by Buffalo after he leaves. He got paid by the Rams, but he got paid by Buffalo, and he's getting paid by San Francisco. Right? And there's something missing there with Leonard Floyd. Otherwise, Buffalo wouldn't have just let him walk for absolutely nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the Aaron Donald factor. Von Miller. Von Miller was at the end of his career. We thought that he was at the end of his career. He comes over to L.A. What happens? Reinvigorated, wins a Super Bowl. They don't win a Super Bowl without Von Miller, but guess what? Von Miller was able to be Von Miller at that stage in his career because of who he lined up next to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think we look at that enough. over the course of a player's career. The Aaron Donald factor was a real thing. And I challenge you right now, in the game right now, give me another player that does not play quarterback that we can use their name and factor together in the same sentence. There's not very many of them, Vinny.
Oh, no. This is, and you know, it's tough because that's, you know, the interior, there's nobody to replace him.
No, you can't.
You can't. There's nobody even on his level. Other than Chris Jones at the moment right now. Chris Jones is pretty dominant, has been for the last couple of years. But I tell you, Aaron Donald was just incredible. Incredible. And he had it all. The quickness off the snap was incredible. The power. I mean, that Super Bowl parade, man, he's walking around at the end of the year. And he's got his shirt off, and he is like...
It's terrifying. It's just,
like, dude, we used to joke, remember I told you, if the human race, if we're going to clone people, we should use Aaron Donald's DNA.
Yeah.
If we're going to clone humans, let's use Aaron Donald's DNA, dude. It was incredible. I was like, dude, that's at the end of the year, too, yeah, where you're supposed to be hurting. And he looks like, dude, check this out. Look at these.
Can I tell you what else I loved about Aaron Donald? As someone that never missed a snap in this guy's career, we've reached an era where few players hate the opposition. You know what I'm saying? Like, that doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah, they're all buddies now.
They're all friends. He legitimately was not friends with the opposition. And I think we should respect that. I think that that is something, as you said, it's kind of like a fraternity, right? That's what it is now. He didn't view it that way. This is a guy that would sit down, and he flat out said, I despise the San Francisco 49ers. He said that in an interview.
You're supposed to.
That is your division rival. But it doesn't happen like that
anymore. It doesn't. We used to see these bloody battles where, you know, in the offseason, sure, those guys were probably friends. At the Pro Bowl, they probably did have beers together. But they weren't shaking hands after the game, hugging each other,
swapping jerseys. No,
they lost. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
They did not like each other. And they're not supposed to.
No.
You're supposed to beat the guy. This is football. This isn't ping pong and tennis. This is football, the most physical game on the earth. You are supposed to hate your division opponents. After the season, sure, why not?
Yeah.
Pro Bowl, have fun. They're guys. They're doing a job. I get that. But that day, after a game, if you lose your division rival, it bothers me when they're like, yeah, no problem. Hey, let's swap jerseys. Let's hug it out.
Oh, it drives me nuts.
Shake hands. Go to the locker room and be very upset. And then after the season, yeah, hug it out.
Yeah, there were Donald instances where there was one in particular with Seattle. Pre-game, he put his helmet on, ran over to Seattle's bench. He wanted to take on the entire team.
He was awesome.
I mean, appreciate that.
The last guy that he reminded me of, I mean, the only guy that I can think of that really he reminded me of because of the stature, right? They were both short guys, both really ripped and thick and dominant players. John Randall.
Yeah, that's fair.
John Randall, because they were, you know, they. I think Donald, let's be honest, they're always lying. What's he, 6 foot, 280?
Fair.
6'1", 280?
Yeah.
Okay. Randall was that way. You know, they had him down at 6'2", 295. He wasn't.
No.
He wasn't. And, you know, some of these, but anyways, short, wild, every play, nonstop motor, dominant players, had to be, you know, dealt with every snap. He's the only guy because of their play size that I could even think of that was... Because Watt was 6'6".
He's a big guy.
J.J. Watt was huge.
Yeah, he was a big guy.
Long arms.
Yep.
Giant hands. They were totally, it looked totally different, Donald and J.J. Watt. You know what I mean? So, John Randall's the only guy that I can think of. And Randall in his prime was just incredible. Dominant Hall of Famer.
Yeah, there was just something there, something different about Donald. And I think you really had to respect that. If you were an opposing team, one of those guys you hate, but you respect, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what Donald was. And really, when you look at Aaron Donald in the media, it's also something I loved about the guy, right? Because he's just him. You know what I mean?
Very genuine guy.
Yeah, just, yes.
Very genuine guy. Not perfect, very genuine. Very, you know, like the holdout. We talked about off the air, too, the holdout. Hey, this is what I want. This is what I'm going to get. This is who I am. We're doing this. And he stuck to his guns.
And he got it, and he took this team to two Super Bowls. He was the catalyst to two Super Bowls.
And he walked on his own terms, right?
He did.
He can still play.
He can still play, yeah. Yeah. So you look at the resume, 10 years, 10 Pro Bowls. That's pretty impressive. Three-time defensive player of the year. Probably could have been the defensive player of the year 5 or 6 times. Voter fatigue is a real thing. We know this.
Yes.
I also, as I talk about Aaron Donald being one of the greatest of all time, if we go back to the year the Rams won the Super Bowl against Cincinnati, he was the greatest player in the world at that time. Now, I don't think he is now. But can you ever remember saying that about a defensive lineman? He's the greatest football player on the planet right now.
Yeah, like I said, Reggie White comes to mind, LT.
Yeah.
Watt, that three-year stretch where Watt, I think he won it 3 years in a row. J.J. Watt did. I know he won it two years in a row.
I think he won it two, yeah.
He won it 2 years in a row. At that time, you're thinking, that's the best football player in the league right now. He's the best football player in the world. But yeah, Donald did it for a long time. Very, 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 very impressive. And you're right. When they won the Super Bowl, he was the best player on the planet.
And then you go back to, and that's what I'm going to remember most about Aaron Donald. There's so many moments. Do you remember when, everyone's going to remember the brawls, because I don't know why you'd want to mess with Aaron Donald. He seriously, that guy's a beast. He's got like 2% body fat on his. I mean, you're like you said, if we're going to clone people, let's clone Aaron Donald. But you go back to when he gets into the Hall of Fame, we're going to see highlights of the Super Bowl year, as you should. He went to 2 Super Bowls with the one he won. I go back to it. Game-winning sack, well, doesn't necessarily go down as a sack. Game-winning hit on Jimmy Garoppolo that forced the interception to get into the Super Bowl. 4th and 1 with Cincinnati in field goal range. He makes a play. Sean McVay calls it from the sideline. You've seen the clip a million times. This is an interior lineman making these plays, and you know he's going to make a play. That's what's so fascinating to me about
him. And kudos to him. We can't talk enough about him. Some of these guys we see, you know, they're one offers. They're one of a kind. They're incredible. And you're watching it. I remember watching a couple times, and my favorite football coach, my dad would say, you're watching a Hall of Famer, man. You're watching greatness. You need to soak this in. You're watching a Hall of Famer. And a couple times you think to yourself, these are the greatest of all time. And he's one of them. Yeah, no doubt.
Aaron Donald calls it a career, and you can't replace that.
No.
You can't. No. And because it's also not one of those deals where you're starting to see the vet kind of trickle down a little bit towards the end of his career. You've brought in a replacement to help mold. No, he didn't do that.
No, he just walked. I'm done.
Sean McVay said, the quote was, he said, I'm full. Okay. You have a right to be.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer.
You got to respect that going out on top. How many times have we seen guys carry on and you just think, man, you shouldn't be there. Oh, come on, dude. This is, you know, we've seen that a lot.
No, we have.
We have seen that a lot where guys can't let it go. And he's like, I'm out.
See you in Canton.
Exactly.
Super Bowl champ. 3-time defensive player of the year. 10-time pro bowler. Remarkable. Let's pause for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. Speaking of remarkable, we have to talk about the fleece that the Pittsburgh Steelers pulled, really on the league, improving their quarterback room.
Yeah, it's pretty good. This is pretty good.
It's pretty good. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Drive Time Sports live from the Sutherland Studios.
Now, more Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
Back here on Drive Time Sports. So much to get into. We could literally spend, I think, the entire week just talking about everything that's gone down in free agency and trade movement. But Vinny, I really wanted to get in to what went down with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because going back before free agency, they were a hot topic. You and I spent some time talking about them. And I think we both thought that Justin Fields was the right quarterback for Pittsburgh. We called that about a month ago.
Yeah. We were talking about it, yeah.
It just made sense, right? His style, the way Tomlin calls plays, it just makes sense to me. This is where he needs to be. Not only do they get Justin Fields, they get Russell Wilson. So the quarterback room goes from Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph to Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. You give up $1 million to get Russell Wilson, and you give up a 6th-round pick to get Justin Fields, but you move on from Kenny Pickett, you get a 3, 4, a 4. This was magical.
This is highway robbery. And, you know, they've been a consistent franchise. The Steelers have been one of the cornerstones of the NFL. They're a consistent franchise. They've never embarrassed themselves. You know, even when they're down 17 years in a row, Mike Tomlin, you know, does he have 5 rings? No. I get it, but he's never had a losing season.
Never.
Right? I mean, that's incredible. And now they can build up their quarterback room, and I think it's a genius maneuver because I don't think Fields plays this year unless Wilson gets hurt. I think this is a reset, and Fields is going to get built for the future. But if Fields literally wins this job, then your backup quarterback is Russell Wilson. You paid $1 million for him.
For 1 year.
For 1 year.
Yep.
That's $1 million.
Is it the right place for Justin Fields to have some success? Because you like him. You think this kid can play. Is this the right scenario?
Today's modern NFL, you know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot to like. You're going to play good defense. It's Pittsburgh. You're going to play good defense, right? They're reshaping their roster. Najee Harris, they're trying to get somebody to call plays in there that's going to run the football. Najee Harris can play. Freiermuth can play. Pickens has been awesome, right? So there's something there. They're trying to build this up. I just think this is the kind of guy that literally, maybe it's not this year, but next year, it's to prove it. And I think he can make some things happen.
Again, I always say this is the model franchise. Everyone should look at the Pittsburgh Steelers in
consistent.
The way it's consistent.
Yeah. There's, great fans.
Yeah. You know, the fans are as loyal as can be, sometimes loyal to a fault, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the way business is handled in Pittsburgh, there's very little drama. There's been players that have been drama-filled, and what happens to them?
They're gone.
Out. They don't mess around. And
even to the detriment of the team.
Yeah.
They were not better without Le'Veon Bell.
They were not better without Antonio Brown.
They were not better without Antonio Brown. And guess what? Those guys cause problems. See you later.
It's just the model franchise.
Yeah, but they really are. And I think Justin Fields could, I mean, if you're going to build your, if you're going to look at a franchise in that division, okay, the similar one that comes up is Baltimore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And do I see that big of a drop-off between Jackson and Fields when they're running in football? No.
I see quite a bit of difference from the pocket right now.
That's something he has to learn. Lamar Jackson was terrible in the pocket.
He was,
the first couple
one
years
time.
In the league. Terrible.
You saw one of the worst playoff performances ever.
Ever.
From a quarterback, and that was Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson. The Chargers played 7 DBs and dared him to beat them, and he couldn't. And so, you know, there's something to build off of. There's the model. And is that what the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to do with their offense? Because we know right now, if Lamar Jackson's throwing it 35 times a game, the Baltimore offense is not doing what it wants to do.
Right.
And that should be the Pittsburgh motto. And I think that's where they're going. And I think Russell Wilson with a great defense, great special teams, great head coach, and a good running game can be good, can get some of it back. Well, let's see. When did he have great success? He had a great coach and a great defense and a great run game. And Russell Wilson was dynamite. We're talking about him being one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Last year, he wasn't awful.
No, we've talked about that.
Did he have a great coach?
No.
Did he have a great running game? No. Did he have a great defense? Yeah, he had a pretty good defense. Were they in most games? Yes. I think this is a no-brainer. These guys can turn it around and be a real force here if, you know, we see some injuries. Do I like them better in Baltimore and Cincinnati? No. Do I like them better than Cincinnati without Joe Burrow? That seems to happen a little bit lately.
I don't like him more than Baltimore. I think the gap's closing. I mean, think about this. This was a team that last year went to the playoffs with a quarterback cocktail of Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, exactly.
They won 10 games, and I think that they have improved that quarterback room tenfold. So is it and I don't have the entire season brought up, but let's just look at this. Let's speak realistically here. Does this quarterback room last year give you two more wins? Yes.
Probably.
That's a 12-win team. And if you're a 12-win team in the NFL out of a 17-week season, you're legit.
Yeah, and let's be honest. If we're talking about top five coaches in the NFL right now, Mike Tomlin's in it.
He has to be. He has to be.
They're the reason they're winning games.
Because ultimately, I don't know that there is another coach that has consistently done more with less than Mike Tomlin. And when I say
absolutely
more than less, I'm talking about consistency, being in the playoff picture, never having a losing season. Now, there have been times where I've been critical of Mike Tomlin because I think that they have had some teams and they've had some questionable situations where I think it was fair to go back and look at and say, okay, was this handled correctly? That's what we do, right? But nonetheless, they are always in the mix. And I constantly see teams with a heap of talent that don't live up to the expectations.
And we've seen that, you know, when he had a great quarterback, they were in it every year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you need in the NFL, right? The combination is a great coach and a great quarterback. And we're seeing this with Andy Reid, the best coach in the NFL right now. and a great quarterback. We're seeing it. We saw it with Belichick and Brady. We saw it with Tomlin and Roethlisberger. These guys were in it every year. Dungy and Manning, right?
Yep.
These were the guys who were in it every year. The AFC was just, that was them. And so am I saying these guys, these quarterbacks are guys like that? No. But Tomlin is that good a coach.
Well, there's any time you win a Super Bowl as a head coach, you're an elite talent because there's less than 50 that have done it.
Yeah.
Think about that, yeah. Right? There's less than 50 coaches that have won a Super Bowl.
If you add it up, I think there's less than 40.
Probably pretty close,
with the
right?
repeats, yeah.
And not to mention that Tomlin also won one as an assistant. He's got a Super Bowl, I believe, as an assistant head coach or assistant coach as well. So this is a guy, it's in his blood, Vinny. One of the best coaches in football, there's no doubt.
Absolutely.
He's been there for what, since 2008?
I think it's 17 years.
Okay, 2007. 17 years, 2007, he's been there. Never had a losing season.
That's incredible. That is an incredible stat that gets overlooked.
Well, we overlook it because, again, I go back to your, you know, one of your favorite coaches in Bill Belichick was so dominant that they made success, the Patriots made success, good success, look average. We started comparing everything to it.
Yeah, that's true.
We started comparing, well, yeah, Tom Brady's got 6 Super Bowls. He's got 7 Super Bowls now. Okay. Drew Brees has 1. It's pretty hard to get 1.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to get 1. Aaron Rodgers has had one of the best careers for a quarterback. How many Super Bowls does he have?
1.
He's got 1. Dan Marino is one of the greatest quarterbacks that ever lived. How many Super Bowls does he have?
None.
He didn't have any. Right? So I think when you look at Mike Tomlin, that argument's going to be, well, he only won 1 Super Bowl. Yeah?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Your point? And, it's hard to do.
I mean, look at the list of people who won Super Bowls. We're talking Lombardi, Walsh, Gibbs, Parcells, Belichick. You know, these guys, if you start adding these up, Chuck Knoll, right? You start adding these up, that's almost half the Super Bowls in the history of the NFL.
Yes. It's hard to win one.
It is very hard to do this.
And, you know, I can take it one step further. He also won one in the Belichick era, which not many people have done.
Very, very few did that, and he did it. He went to another one, and yeah. The only time, you know, Aaron Rodgers won one.
Yep.
He got beat by Aaron Rodgers. Well, you know what? A lot of people got beat by Aaron Rodgers. He's pretty damn good.
But you agree, right? Like a lot of the success that these guys have right now, I go back to the Aaron Donald conversation a moment ago where you say we're watching greatness. Sometimes that gets overlooked because we're at the end of an era in the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick era. It's just ending. It was so dominant. It was once in a lifetime. We'll never see it again. I mean, put this in perspective. You realize the Kansas City Chiefs need to win 3 more Super Bowls to match what Brady and Belichick did over a 20-year span.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, that sounds, well, they only got to win 3 more. No, that's pretty daunting.
That's pretty daunting.
And I don't think it happens.
I don't either. And, you know, it's hard to do. You're one play away from not even getting there. It is so competitive in these playoff games. I mean, we are literally seeing, you know, you're one play away from not even getting into these games.
Not even getting into the playoffs.
And so It is very hard to do. You're right. It is impressive what's happened the last 2 years, Andy Reid and Mahomes, what they've done. It's incredible. And it's tough. To put that in perspective, I mean, literally 17 straight years without a losing record. That's a very impressive stat.
I look at this division right now. It is the best division in football, right?
I think so. Top to bottom, yeah, I believe so. Because I think every one of these teams is going to be better. I think Cleveland will be better. I still think that Deshaun Watson is a better quarterback than
they
had last year.
You better be.
And I think getting healthy, the Bengals getting healthy, Burrow, I mean, the guy's awesome. Speaking of just a couple plays away, Baltimore, they're looking at that game going, we had a real chance to be in the Super Bowl, and we blew it. We threw interceptions. We fumbled at the goal line. We let the Chiefs get off the hook. They were in it.
Yep.
They were in it. So, yeah, I think you're right. Best division of football.
Yeah, front to back. And, you know, as we were talking about the Pittsburgh quarterback room, which, again, give me Russell Wilson and Justin Fields over Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett any day of the week. That Cleveland quarterback room is starting to look pretty good, too. That's not bad.
I like this football team. They battled. They've been through a lot. I just think Stefanski's an underrated coach. I think he's done a lot with a little, and he's had a lot of adversity there. And it's still Cleveland, right? I mean, literally. It's like where quarterbacks go to die.
Yeah.
And then they trade for Watson, give him all that. And what did they get out of it so far?
Nothing.
Nothing. So is this the year finally they get great quarterback play?
Well, they went out and they got a quarterback in Jameis Winston, who is now backing up Deshaun Watson, a guy that can wing it. I actually like Jameis. You like Jameis?
Jameis can wing it, dude. Yeah. And if you got a couple, you know, you need a hot hand and you need a couple games, this guy to fill in. Jameis can wing it, dude. This is a guy who's thrown for 5,000 yards.
That's
right?
Not easy to do.
Yeah, that's a lot of yards.
There's a short list of quarterbacks.
Yeah,
that
very
done that.
Short list of quarterbacks. 5,000 yards, a lot of yards. So, yeah, I like him as a backup quarterback. And maybe Watson's healthy. And put it all to rest and get it all going for Cleveland, because that's a good football team.
And then they went out and got Tyler Huntley, too.
They have a good football team. I like Stefanski. I think he's a good football coach. It'd be great to see Nick Chubb come back from what we, when we saw it, thought, this guy's done. This guy is done. And it was bad, but not as bad as they originally thought. It'd be nice to see midseason, maybe we get to get a glimpse of Nick Chubb coming back, play a little football. Wouldn't that be a good scene?
No, it would be. It would be. But now I'm just thinking off the top of my head. Okay, we're talking about quarterback rooms. Think about this in the division. Okay, so we just went over the three quarterbacks that Cleveland has now. We know who Pittsburgh has. Cincinnati's got two pretty good quarterbacks as well,
yeah,
and Joe Burrow and Jake Browning.
Browning turned out to be quite the guy. Huh?
Are you a little surprised that there hasn't been more talk of Jake Browning, a trade of some sort, teams looking for a quarterback? Because I am.
Especially a bridge quarterback.
Yes.
Even if you're not sure what you got for a year while you're developing a player, I'm surprised. We've seen Sam Darnold get $10 million. He didn't play last year. He was a backup in San Francisco. He signed a contract for, I think it was $10 million, right?
Yeah, 1 year, $10 million.
He didn't even play last year. Browning's got good tape from last year. This is recent tape. And nobody offered a pick? We'll never know. Did teams call?
This is interesting. This is an interesting conversation, because at the beginning of the segment, you said we haven't seen a lot of Joe Burrow lately, because we haven't, right? He hasn't been able to stay healthy. But in the NFL, where they really hamstring you on how many players you can suit up on Sundays, if somebody's calling and offering you a third or a fourth for Browning, you have to consider that if you're Cincinnati, right?
And maybe they did.
Well, maybe, unless Cincinnati doesn't have a ton of faith in Joe Burrow's health. And if you don't have Jake Browning last year, you're not sniffing the postseason. And don't forget, all Browning had to do, he had one drive to get Cincinnati into the postseason. Remember this? It was against the Chiefs. One drive. If he can lead them down the field and score a touchdown, they get into the postseason.
That's right.
And he fell short. They got to about midfield. And they fell short. That's how close Cincinnati was to getting into the postseason without Joe Burrow.
So, did Cincinnati get these calls?
They would have.
We don't know.
They would have had to.
Sure, they did. People were like, "Hey, look, we really like this kid. What are you going to give up? Nothing. This is a big injury for Joe Burrow. No, it's not worth it to us. He may have to play next year."
Yeah,
and that's a good room. He turned out to be a good player. Who's Baltimore's backup?
I don't know. It's not Tyler Huntley anymore.
It's not Tyler Huntley. So are they in the market to draft a quarterback?
You would think. You would think. And when you look at what some of these quarterbacks have gone for, pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, where in this draft do they start looking around going, hey, we want an athletic quarterback, right? Huntley and Jackson were great because you didn't have to change the offense when they came in.
Yep.
So you're looking for a guy that's an athlete. He has to be able to run the football. That's going to be interesting. Late round quarterbacks, we haven't seen much. We haven't had much talk of these. You know, do they go early, maybe second round, say, hey, we'll take Bo Nix because we need a backup quarterback?
There are some quarterbacks still out there. Well, Jimmy G signed, right? He goes to the Rams. Carson Wentz is obviously available. The Rams are obviously moving on from Carson Wentz because they went out and got Jimmy G.
We don't want him running around.
No. Who's out there still?
Who's out there? Well, and then coming in the draft, who can run around? Is this where somebody like, you know, the Milton kid from Tennessee, big strong kid, runs well? Is he a project you take as a backup quarterback? That's what Huntley was, right?
Yeah.
He was a project.
He was a project. Worked out okay.
Yeah, it absolutely did. And I'm surprised they let him be the third quarterback in Cleveland.
They actually have four right now. Because they have the...
DTR.
Yeah, the Thompson Robinson kid from UCLA.
Well, he's going to get cut. Nobody's keeping four quarterbacks.
I don't think anyone.
I don't understand. Most people are even keeping three.
No.
Because what the rules are the way they are.
I mean, so what do? You release, you hope for a practice squad, right?
Yeah, that's
kind of
what you're hoping for.
That's what you hope for.
Huntley comes back, or if they let TTR go, maybe Baltimore goes, hey.
But I can't see Tyler Huntley being a practice team quarterback at this stage in his career. He's had too much success. That's not a practice squad guy. DTR,
very
maybe.
Strange.
Maybe, but.
Very, very, very strange. It's something we need to look at, because Jackson's injury, we got to keep an eye on that. Jackson's injury history, especially before last season, the two before that, he missed a lot of time.
Yeah, and I'm going back and forth now thinking, okay, so Cleveland, the dead money for Deshaun Watson's $200 million. That's dead cap. So he's there for 2 years.
Yeah, guaranteed.
Because they can't, there's no possible way around it. And so it's weird that you would have Cleveland with four quarterbacks when they have the biggest dead cap hit in the history of the NFL and Deshaun Watson. And then you got a team like Baltimore who does not have a backup. They don't have a backup. You know what? They signed Josh Johnson. That's who their backup was. So to answer your question,
that's his 17th NFL job.
My goodness.
This guy's got, dude, he's got jersey. He's got half the jersey in the NFL in his collection.
So no, they don't have a backup. That's interesting, right? The worst quarterback room has the best quarterback in that division, but it's the worst quarterback room. That makes sense?
Yes, it is. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, the NFL's always interesting.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt
about that. Interesting all the way around. What is the next storyline? Because we're about a month away from the draft.
Someone's going to get moved. It's going to be a big trade. We're going to see a trade happen, and I don't know who it's going to be. It could be L'Jarius Sneed. Somebody's going to get moved before the draft. Or we're going to have a trade before the draft in Minnesota. You know, Minnesota's jockeying to move up. Do they move up early or do they wait to draft night?
Yeah, now you're going to start seeing movement based off of free agency, right? That's what we have to look at now.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a lot of fluctuation. Not a lot, but we'll probably see a couple of teams.
We're 5 weeks from the draft. So right now teams are going to hunker down and get really into the draft meetings.
Yes.
Free agency is going to slow, come to a crawl.
It kind of already has.
Yeah, it really has for the last week. Last few days, excuse me, not much going on. You're seeing 1 year deals, backup players, spot starters, those kind of deals. But I think we're going to see some movement. I think a big player is going to get moved.
Chase Young already on his way out. He signs with New Orleans. So it was a rental for San Francisco. Didn't really work out. I know we're running out of time here, but boy, what a weird situation in New Orleans, isn't it?
And for the Niners, you give them a third round pick for what?
Went all in.
Six or eight games?
Yeah, he didn't do anything.
He didn't do anything. He had a sack in the Super Bowl, I think.
That was it. One sack,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and here's a guy, you know, his college tape was last year thinking, hey, this guy's legit.
Yeah.
This guy is legit. His first rookie year, he had, I think, 7.5 sacks. Thinking, all right, this could be the next guy. Since then, nothing.
Kind of Jadavious Clowney-esque.
Yeah, just nothing.
Yeah.
You just... Clowney, I think, his best season of his career was last year with Baltimore.
Yeah, and he's still a free agent.
So we'll see that. But now it's, you know, at least the last 5 weeks, what are you doing? You are hunkered down. This is like Fort Knox. It's draft season. They're getting their boards ready, and everything we're going to hear now is just the rumor. This prospect's up. This prospect's down.
Fun time of the year.
It is. It's going to be a good draft.
Yeah, it is. We are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Vinny, it's great to get you back in studio. Of course, we'll do it again next Tuesday, just a few weeks out from the draft. Always fun to be along with you as well on the afternoon drive. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. Until then, be safe. We are out.